In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is Brandon Ayuk, and you're listening to Roster Wars. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. I'm also joined by the Trash Man because we have just a fire hose of news to get through today. We have Wednesday. We had teams starting to show up. Most of the NFL starting to show up for their voluntary OTAs yesterday, but then a new group also kind of coming through today. So we have some news and notes coming out of these OTAs. I went through on The Athletic and some other sites, X, whatever. Just get some kind of news and notes from the beginning of these OTAs to see what fantasy-wise we might be able to take away or what storylines could be developing here in these various camps. So I figured we'd just go ahead and get started. I'll throw it to you guys and sort of see what y'all think. Start out with the Cowboys, where the reports were that Javonte Williams looks like he's getting the lion's share of first-team reps to start OTAs. Is that anything that we should take any signal from, any worry about our hopeful Jaden Blue ascendancy there with the with Trash Man's Cowgirls?
I think this was the assumption that, I mean, of Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders, Javonte Williams is the better back coming in, and he's the more seasoned back over Blue, who's just learning the pro game. So this is part of the course to me. I don't hate Javonte Williams. And fantasy, I mean, if he stays healthy, he could serve a purpose, you know, there for the Cowboys and for us for fantasy. The thing is, Blue, you're going to be able to get him pretty cheap. So the same on either one of these other backs. So I think it's a fluid situation, and because it's not a high pressure situation in fantasy, I think it's fine.
Cody, Javonte Williams right now is. Doesn't seem like he's a guy that too many people are super, super duper high on. Right now in ADP of the, 12th round ADP, you're looking at him – or no, not 12th round. Yeah, I think he goes 10th or – right there at the 10-11 turn usually. I can't find exactly what it is. Let's see. On Underdog, it looks like – yeah, exactly, 10-11, 121. So 10-11 turn. He's going around the same time as dudes like Ramondre Stevenson and Travis Etienne.
I mean, it is what it is. That's kind of the way I look at it. Is like I expected Javonte to be the lead guy. I don't expect Jaden Blue to just take on this role from the jump. So I'm not drafting Javonte. Not going to draft Javonte. We'll let OTAs come and go when fall comes around. And we get to see these guys' boots on the ground, and we get to hear that Jaden Blue's got the burst, and that Jaden Blue's picked up the playbook by then. We're still like Alex, 4 weeks from being in Tampa when these guys were drafted. So it's really quick. It's a quick turnaround. They're just getting their legs, you know, getting to see what these guys look like on film, getting some wax on them. Then they'll get to go back and regurgitate what these coaches want them to learn, what they want to adjust as we go into fall camp. I'm not touching Javonte. Never going to touch Javonte this whole summer, and we'll just come back to it.
There's nothing that could happen that could change your mind.
I mean, again, fall comes around. I'm not going to draft him this summer. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to wait till the fall. If the fall comes around and they go, guess what? Jaden Blue is inept. Can't do it. Can't play football. Then I'll say, all right, I was wrong. And then at that point, if people are drafting Javonte in like the 5th round or something, way too expensive still, so I'll just continue to be out on it. You couldn't convince me. I mean, this is like not to the extreme, but was it 3 years ago when Dalvin Cook people were still there with Dalvin Cook with the Jets, and it was like we're not clicking this.
But you also have to remember the Cowboys 5 years ago, when you had two viable backs in that offense, you had
entirely different line
and the Tony Pollard. I think it ended up being a similar kind of situation where you have a 1A and a 1B.
Those were Hall of Fame offensive linemen. These are like borderline Pro Bowl offensive linemen.
I mean, that doesn't really matter to me. I'm just talking about the way that they use these running backs. And I don't think either one of these guys is particularly going to be a bell cow back in that offense.
I don't want Javonte or Miles Sanders. I'm done.
I'd take Javonte. I'd take Javonte right now. I'd take him, and I'd take Blue.
Up to what cost?
What's up?
Up to what cost?
I mean, he's at the 10-11 turn, and I mean, that's fine for me.
But how much longer
are you willing to take that, though? Like 8, 7? Like what's two?
Like up into the ninth round? Like what?
I think 8, 9 would be fine for me. I mean, so that makes him, you know, what, maybe potentially your third back?
Probably your RB3.
Yeah, to me, the upside, it's worth it for me there for sure.
I'll take Cody's side of that one.
On one of the better offenses in football.
Stephon Diggs, he was getting outstanding health reports, but now just earlier this morning, Chad Graff was saying that he might be ready to go by week 4. He's a pretty good reporter for the Patriots. That injury was super early last season for Stephon Diggs. And then there was that weird boat video where it looked like I'm not sure what he was handing off to those women, but they were asked about it today. He was not at practice today. He was one of a few guys missing. They said Ramondre Stevenson was also banged up and not participating along with a couple of other guys. But your thoughts on Stephon Diggs? He's not anybody that I've been that interested in really going after right now. It feels like there are some people that are kind of in on him because his ADP on Underdog 75.
I'm glad that, he left Minnesota and took the idea of going on a boat and bringing women with him on the boat. He took that idea out of Minnesota.
The lake Minnetonka, whatever that was.
I'm glad he got that out. No, look, he's going to be ready. I mean, he looks like he's kind of ready right now, just chilling up there with all the chicks on the boat. But I think the injury was October 27th, so right around Halloween.
That's a little bit later than I thought. Okay.
Yeah, it's not quite like a December injury or something like this. But he's 31. Turns 32 on November 29th this year. So age 31 season into 32, whatever. Not at practice day one. Here's the thing. I'm watching like Saints practice footage, and I see Brandon Cooks out there playing football. I know he's not hurt. I see Olave out there who's dealt with a lot of concussion stuff.
Shaheed's back.
All these guys are out there, helmets on, playing football. And Diggs on a new team in a new city, and he's on a boat, not at practice.
We talking about practice? You talking practice here to an all-pro NFL receiver?
How many years ago?
Are you kidding me? I mean, this is probably good for him. Missing some games, not having to deal with the rat race, ramping up for a season. he's a pro. He doesn't need to be practicing. He knows the game.
And to Trashman's point, these are voluntary OTAs. We don't get to the mandatory ones until the next till the next round. But yeah,
I don't know how Mike Vrabel runs his ship, but I don't feel like a voluntary OTA is most voluntary OTA with Vrabel.
Well, ask Javon Baker about it. There was on X earlier. They were reporting that he was having some pretty animated words with that guy all the way back into the locker room about him celebrating after some catch.
Stephon Diggs, he could step on the field week one, not having practice and still be the best receiver on that team.
We were the ones who told everybody to draft Stephon Diggs as a rookie in Dynasty on SiriusXM when nobody wanted to take this fifth round guy. And Trashman still to this day calls him Stephon. It's just unbelievable. Dable says that Malik Nabers is still dealing with a toe injury from college. That's why he can't be out there.
Now we're talking about a player that cannot show up until day one. We're talking about a prime Ferrari. Just, you know, like the oil is like still clear. Like, no, let's show up on day one, right?
No worries about Malik Nabers, trash man. If he played with it last year, then I'm not worried.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but it is the kind of thing where, you know, you'd hate to see nagging kind of injuries on a player of that ilk.
Yeah, I say just keep him out.
Yeah, just absolutely.
Keep him out. Just don't play him. Just make sure that guy's – like, take this time to get him healthy. He obviously had to do all of his combine training last year. He was on his feet the whole time. He comes in. He's a rookie. He's got his head swimming. All like, no, man. It's like, just keep – put him in bubble wrap, dude.
I mean, NFL season at this point – and in the near future, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I mean, like, wearing these guys out.
Travis Hunter, he's only working with the offense as far as his deployment so far. But they people are asking, like, what the heck? Like, if he's going to play both ways, he needs to practice some with the defense. They're saying that he is sitting in on defensive team meetings. I think we're going to see Travis Hunter just done. I think that since the very beginning, since the reports started coming out that Liam Cohen and Gladstone were like, we needed to insert a playmaker onto this offense. And the fact they go up and they get Travis Hunter, to me, it's like, well, he's playing offense.
I was on 1010XL this morning with the hacker, Ryan Green. I think it's going to air tonight. But we were talking about the receiving room and defensive backs. And he wanted my POV on like what they were going to do with Hunter. And he brought up that they're gonna play him 10 to 20 snaps on defense. That's kind of his view. They brought in Jordan Lewis. They also brought in Cam Silman Craig, who's now a safety, listed as a safety, but played corner opposite of Hunter at Colorado. Like, and their defensive backroom still isn't good. We talked about it before. Like, they had nobody in the roster last year with better than a 70 overall PFF coverage grade. I think it was like 66 was the highest, to be honest. I think it was Tyson Campbell. But on offense, it's like Christian Kirk's gone, Ingram's gone, Gabe Davis is gone with the failed physical last week. You look at that receiver room, it's literally Brian Thomas, then what? It's literally De'Ami Brown and Parker Washington, who I like Parker Washington. I once liked De'Ami Brown, but De'Ami Brown feels like a guy that should literally be listed below Brian Thomas as the same position on the depth chart. Travis Hunter is going to have all the routes in the world to run an offense, but I still think they're going to play him, you know, a dozen to 15 snaps on defense. They're just going to have to. And the way I saw it, and I was talking to Ryan about it, was basically they brought in like six new heads on defense, and they're going to probably give them the opportunity to like earn the roles, earn the starting spots, grow and be a better defensive back unit. But they kind of have a joker. They kind of have a joker in the bottom of the deck that they can just pull out Travis Hunter and be like, well, these guys all suck. We know Travis Hunter has the best ball skills. He can probably go out there and play football. And I think it's a little bit easier to make that play than it is to say on offense, well, now we can just go play Travis Hunter. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. I'm interested to hear what Trashman has to say about this one, because it does affect some of those Saints guys we were talking about earlier. It was on a report on LouisianaSports.net saying, because they've already had some OTAs and they just came back today, right? And they're saying that after today, it's easy to call Spencer Rattler the early front runner to be the Saints QB1. Which to me is very concerning. I should go back, and maybe for tomorrow's show, I'll go back and look at this. I feel like Spencer Rattler, I know at some points last year, he would say, look, my job is to get the ball to Chris Olave. He would say that. And so he would definitely force feed Olave. It would worry you, but it would just worry you about the over. God, he takes so many sacks. He's so bad. And it just worries me about the overall scope of the offense, about how often they're going to be in scoring position and all the rest of it. If this ends up to be Rattler, at least with Tyler Shuck, for, you know, I just kind of like, that's at least the devil I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe he could turn out to be good. I feel like Rattler is just so bad. You're trash man. Do you have any thoughts about,
I mean, if Rattler's already the front runner, what does that tell you about Shuck?
Well, he's a rookie. He's an old rookie. Well,
that's the thing. He's playbook. The feather he had in his cap was that he's old and he's NFL ready. And if he's not NFL ready enough to beat out Spencer Rattler, to me, that's not a good sign for Schott. The thing is, we're already operating with the New Orleans Saints offense kind of at deficit in fantasy. I mean, besides Olave, there haven't really been any other players who we're depending on a week-to-week basis. So it's not that – I don't think it'd be that big of a difference. I think maybe we get one of these tight ends. We get Juwan Johnson more involved with Spencer Rattler. I mean, either way, it's not an ideal situation. But the thing is, I don't think it's that much of a deficit compared to what Carr would bring to the table and the rest of the weapons they have on offense right now.
You still like Bub Means, Trashman?
I mean, I haven't seen him do anything. I mean, I liked him sparingly when I saw him in action. Going into the draft.
I saw a minute clip from the Saints dropped it. Nick Underhill retweeted it. Reporter for NOLA Football. And it was like Tyler Shook and Spencer Rattler throwing the football around. And then it was like Juwan Johnson crossing route, Juwan Johnson deep ball over DeMario Davis from Shook. And then it was like Brandon Cooks. And then it was like Juwan Johnson again. And then to end the clip, it was Bub Means. And I was like, man, Bub Means looks a little bit thinner. He looks a little bit better. And they featured him. He's like one of the five catches in the video. And I was like, I got to bring up Bub Means on the show today.
Trash Man's ears just perked up when you mentioned Juwan Johnson.
That quarterback situation, there are already too many mouths to feed.
All right. How about staying in the NFC South? This was for Pewter Report earlier. It was in a mailbag that they were doing right after they got back from OTA's practice, like a chat. And somebody was asking about Godwin, if he's going to be ready, because he's still limited, of course. He had the ankle injury in week 7 of last year. He said, helping the Bucs is the fact that the team drafted wide receiver Emeka Egbuka in the first round. That takes some of the pressure off Godwin having to be on the field in week 1 to give him the best chance of winning in Atlanta. So reporters there are already kind of talking, saying that maybe Godwin misses some time to start the season.
Did you see what Jalen McMillan said about Emeka Egbuka?
No.
He was like, they had McMillan at the podium and Greg Allman tweeted out, said Jalen McMillan says rookie Emeka Egbuka had made a strong first impression on the Bucs and, in quote, already knows half the damn playbook.
He doesn't sound too happy about it.
Hey, was a dog on and off the field. I think he's going to be a gem.
Any worries about Godwin? I guess you got to be a little bit worried. Coming off injury, they did make mention of it too, that when he's coming off ACL going from 2021 to 2022, that was a slow year for him as well.
So. I thought something was fishy whenever he signed with the Buccaneers again.
But they gave him a big deal and they know more about his health than anybody else.
One, two, 3 months and some change before the first game.
All right. Let's see here. Giants showed up today for theirs. Jackson Dart. The first touchdown in 7-on-7s for the Giants is Jackson Dart to Cody's boy Juice Wells. There was speculation I seen from one of these reporters though that we might not see him until week 15, and that's something I just can't see. Oh, the other thing, Jameis, his first pass in 7-on-7s was a pick, And then the other thing that kind of popped up is Devin Singletary when they went to 11-on-11 drills, the first running back up out there. Now, people were saying that they didn't see Tyrone Tracy. Scatterboot did mixed in. There was also talk that a couple of players on the team had the stomach bug. So maybe Tyrone Tracy would have been out there and been working in with the ones or something. Maybe he's one of the stomach bug guys. But general thoughts on Giants from either of you. What about the Jackson Dart stuff specifically?
You think he lasted week 15?
Well, I think it has to do with how the season plays out and then how – whether like Dable thinks – if we get to week 15, Shane and Dable, they're like, all right, we get to week 15 or so, week 14, and we get Jackson out there and he's been able to develop this whole time. We can – but we're like we've won 4 football games, right? Now we can – now what we can do is we can
– But ain't nobody got that – that's like – that's just extremely glass half empty. Like week 15, we're going to have four wins.
Well, if that's the, I think that they're going to say Dart comes in and he wins the last, you know, wins the last, what, 15, 16, 17. He wins the last four games, looks good. That buys them equity to keep their jobs for another season. Whereas if he comes in week seven and he stinks for 3 weeks and they toss somebody else back out there. You know what I mean? It's like, then they're like, well, this whole thing's a mess. And it looks like Shane didn't even do a good job with picking this quarterback. It's hard for one of those guys to take over midseason and just be good from there on out.
You won't want to do what the Colts have done and are doing and have a rookie that, you know, you maybe get out there too soon, they flounder, and then you replace him with somebody else, a journeyman, and then you never really see what you got in the guy, you know, for a full season. I think it would be a mistake for the Giants to do that, to bring Dart in too early. But they might just want to save their jobs later in the season and do it. But I think between Winston and Russ, I think there's enough duct tape there to hold together the Giants with a healthy Malik Nabers.
That's also their bye week, week 15. So week 14 is their bye. Week 15, they come off of it.
And maybe that's what they're referencing. We might not.
But again, like, none of that makes sense. It's like, that's either
no, that's just reporter speculation. That didn't come from a coach.
Okay, I was gonna say if that came from a coach, that's like that's either extremely glass, like 90% full, like we're going 14-0 into the bye. We got this thing locked up. Let's see what the kid looks like. Or that's like, yeah, we know.
I don't think that's gonna be the case, and I don't think that anybody has their.
I don't think either end of those is right.
All right, so I got a bunch more of these to get through. So let's just rapid fire through the. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, like seven to nine more. Okay. So rapid fire these. The Tommy Trimble, he just got back from back surgery. Is this wheels up for JT Sanders?
I mean, I'm not interested. I mean, there are already too many pass catchers on that offense that you're going to have to reckon with.
I kind of feel the same way. I just like, you know, what if you get a step up from any of those other guys, right? And what if you get Ted McMillan, who's actually good? You know what I mean? And like all this, what if Bryce Young is not as – he just doesn't continue with the same ascension? I'm not buying too much into the whole JT Sanders thing. But I do hope the best for him, and I do hope that his whole – you know, I hope that he's just getting better as far as his dedication to the weight room and stuff like that.
I just traded him for a third and a fourth next year.
How about this one? So the thing on Ricky Pearsall and Brock Purdy, their relationship from The Athletic, he said that they lost time last year by, you know, everything that happened with him and all that, and that they had said that they wanted to make good on their plans to work out in the offseason. They've done that a lot. They were worked out in Jacksonville. They're both from Arizona. So they worked out in Jacksonville and in Arizona a bunch this year. Apparently the connection is going to be a lot better with those guys from what they've been saying in interviews around the team. Pearsall, Purdy, y'all's thoughts?
I'm in.
Trash man, you went on first round Ricky Pearsall with no more Debo Samuel there? And Brandon Ayuk probably a little bit – not for – he's a first-round NFL
player. I was going to say, hold up.
Debo. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think – I mean, you have Ayuk there. You have Juwan Jennings, who actually – I think, was it a 1,000-yard season? Or if not, he flirted with a 1,000-yard season last year. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed. Purdy, I'm still – I don't know. He had an up year. He had an up rookie year, down sophomore year. You know, the verdict is still out on whether he'll return to that rookie form in this third year. I mean, they gave him the deal, but I mean, I've yet to see him return to form.
New Lions offensive coordinator talking about Morton. He was talking about Jamison Williams. He said he was there in 2021, and then he spent the last 2 years, and he comes over from, I believe, Denver, where he was passing game coordinator and oversaw last year with what happened with Bo Nix, and so they hire him back over. So he has some experience with Ben Johnson, some experience with this team. And he said, when he first got here, he came in to see me. We had a chat, and I'm painting the picture. this is what you need to do. This is how you do it. This is how I see it. And he's been unbelievable, unbelievable in those meetings. The attention to detail. I mean, I'm so excited to see him this year. It's going to be a breakout year for him. So I can't wait. I just can't wait, man. That's the offensive coordinator on Jameson Williams. I'm of two lines of thought. I haven't got that much Jameson Williams because one, I feel like he's gotten super expensive. He's not cheap to get, right? His ADP right now is fourth round. And the other thing is I think the Lions offense is going to be good. I love the Lions. I think they're great. We had all the Lions last year, famously, on the cheat sheets. It was great. But to not say that there's a little bit of systemic risk there with all of the coach, you know, it's the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, all of it getting turned over. And Ben Johnson brought a lot of his guys with him to Chicago. It's like it doesn't bake in any of that risk at all to have this guy going in the fourth round. Trashman, famously, you had him going for more yards last year than Mike Evans, which has actually came a lot closer than I was comfortable with. Are you still in on JMO for a fourth round price tag?
I mean, I think he could be a T. Higgins. I think he's better than T. Higgins. I mean, I think he's more talented than T. Higgins. I mean, I think he's where within the realm of possibility that he could compete on that level. You know, there are question marks with the new OC, but, you know, knowing the player, knowing the comfort that he has with his quarterback has with him already, I don't see why he couldn't continue to perform at the clip, you know, that we see him start to compete on a regular basis.
Cody, too expensive?
Fourth round is a little bit too expensive, but I think you can tell the story. And I mean, technically, for our sake, he did break out last year. He had 200 fantasy points and 1,000 yards. So I think the question begs is how much more can you get out of a Jameson when you have Amon-Ra there and when you have those backs there? I question how much more. Can you get 10 touchdowns? Can I get 1,200 yards? Is it really that much of a difference? And for fantasy football perspective, in the fourth round, I'm looking for a guy that's going to catch a lot of passes week in and week out. It's going to be dependable week in and week out and not just going to be, you know, 1 week he catches 2 for 28 and the next week he goes 4 for 101. Yes, that's going to be nice to have the 401, but those other weeks it's going to be hurting. And at that point, I'd almost rather have some dudes that I know are going to get 16 touches out of the backfield or I know are going to get targeted 9-10 times a game. I just don't know if you can tell yourself the story that that's going to happen with Jameson.
Trash man, do you know how close you were on that receiving yards bet?
Pretty close. I know we're going into like week 16 and 17.
It's like
and
under 15?
Three yards.
Yeah.
Gosh. It might have been fantasy points, though. And that
I think it was fantasy points.
I think it was fantasy points because I don't remember sweating it that bad. Okay, next, just a few more here quickly. Green Bay, they started their OTAs today. Running backs coach Ben Sermons said Marshawn Lloyd has no limitations, and per The Athletic, he should have all the opportunity he needs to earn substantial snaps behind Josh Jacobs in 2025. Is he the handcuff to own? We had this discussion on the handcuff show.
To me, I don't know that there are any handcuffs to own other than, Christian McCaffrey's handcuff. That's the only handcuff I'm really interested in.
There are a couple others. I think Trey Benson's an important one. I think that you pick your Rams guy. Like there's some other ones that we discussed that are.
James Conner has proven if nothing else than to be resilient in recent years.
Cody, you have any difference about Marshawn Lloyd at this point?
I'm not sure he's we're going to go out and draft, Jordan Mason, Trey Benson, Garendo guy. We're not going to go out and draft. I wouldn't go out and draft Marshawn Lloyd, but I do think based on what they told us at the NFL draft and through free agency, they told us that they're content with Lloyd and or Wilson in this backfield behind Josh Jacobs because they didn't go out and add anything. They added a couple of college free agents that, we didn't even study because they aren't good. They're bottom roster clogging, cuttable guys.
It's hard to watch everybody that doesn't go to one of the All-Star games that we attend or go to the combine. That's already we're ranking how many? 55?
Yeah, 45, 55 running backs. It's like these guys weren't one of them because they didn't do enough in college. They weren't, the point is there's four backs on the roster that we know that the Packers had on the roster last year. They didn't add anybody with draft capital that would tell us anything positive or negative, positive about that player or negative about the current players on the roster. And when you read the quotes and it's like, you know, Lloyd stayed in his playbook. He watched every practice he could. And he's been closely working with the running back coach. Like, he's doing the right things. And, you know, small calves or not, everybody's going to get a chance. If he gets his nut, he's probably going to have a good season. And, you know, I'll probably add him a couple times here in like week four of the season after a couple injuries go down.
Yeah. All right. And finally here, I forget which Jets reporter this was. It was somebody, I think it was in The Athletic as well. And so they were writing up their biggest takeaways about how Justin Fields looked in their first kind of looks at him as veterans have come in. And he says, one thing was obvious right away, though. Fields will be looking Garrett Wilson's way early and often this spring and when summer and fall roll around, too. That shouldn't come as a surprise, but their connection back to their days at Ohio State is obvious. To the point, it feels like Fields is more comfortable trying to thread difficult throws to Wilson, knowing there's a decent chance he'll find a way to come down with it. And they quoted him as saying, they quoted Garrett Wilson as saying, we've been picking up where we left off, Wilson said. Y'all's thoughts on the Justin Fields to Garrett Wilson connection for the Jets, and whether you're interested in taking Garrett Wilson right now at his current ADP of what, don't know the exact number here, but it's second round, or it's actually down to the 2-3 turn now. So his ADP is 24, so late second, but technically kind of 2-3 turn.
If I can get Garrett Wilson as my second wide receiver, oh my gosh. I mean, or your third if you're going zero RB. I mean, that to me, yeah, that's a deal. I'll take it all day. I already thought that Garrett Wilson was going to feast this season. They got no other firepower.
Summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.